Oh, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Dorky Mets podcast. I am your host, Charlie DeLuca, and with me, as always, are Del Alba and Corne Hoogeveen. It's been a while since we talked, week off, so it's been about 2 weeks since we got together. How have you guys been these past 14 days?
I've been good. I've been, little vacation here and there, taking some time off to myself, and now I'm back at it.
Yeah, I have worked a lot, so this is my little bit off time week, so I'm a little bit the other way around than you guys, because you guys both, I know Charlie wasn't in the U.S., so Charlie, how was that?
Yeah, no, first time out of the country for me, so that was pretty cool. Got to see bit of Switzerland, bit of Italy, and got to see a bit of, it's not a whole lot of Liechtenstein, but got to stop in there and see an old castle, so that was pretty cool. First time out of the country, getting to head over to that area of the world. So an eventful 2 weeks for us, it sounds like, and an eventful 2 weeks for our beloved New York Mets. The day of reckoning came and went for New York as the Atlanta Braves finally, after it seemed like months of everyone talking about them catching the Mets, they ended up not only catching them, but surpassing them by a half a game last week. I believe Thursday was the day that, or maybe it was Saturday, I think, was the day that they took over first place. And it was for about 12 hours that it was the first place Atlanta Braves. One game, and the Mets retook their position at the top and have since extended that, if you can call it, to a game and a half. Both teams lost last night. The Mets to the Cubs, obviously, and Atlanta losing to the San Francisco Giants. So, Corne, I'll start with you. You're always seemingly to be the optimist of this group. What is your confidence level? I know you've been under the opinion that when the Braves caught or even took the lead like they did against the Mets, that they would then pull away. So how confident are you now that the Mets bounced back and seem to be riding the ship a little bit after struggling against some of the lesser teams in the National League?
Well, you said it well, because the Mets bounced back a little bit. It's more that Atlanta now lost three in a row, and we did our jobs against Miami. I mean, two out of three is solid, doesn't wow me. Lost against the Cubs yesterday, so that doesn't really wow me as well. We need to win the next two again to win the series against the bad team. But we also might see some cracks with the Braves. I mean, they have been so consistently good over the last 3 to 4 months. And now they had the lead, and maybe they are going to crack a bit under that pressure, having that lead, which the Mets have had for two to 3 months. So it's a roller coaster of emotions for the Mets and for us as fans. Because, yes, when the Atlanta Braves took over, I really thought, well, they came close a couple of times. If they get that lead, they've been playing so great, then they will likely go over and buy the New York Mets. But the Mets played a couple of needed games in the doubleheader against Pittsburgh and a couple of must-needed wins against Miami. So it's meh for me. I mean, maybe because the Braves are finally losing a couple of games. Maybe the pressure, long season. We are in the end of a long season, so maybe that doesn't work well for both of us. But I think it will be, maybe next week we will say, oh well, we got it in the bank, or the other way around. It's such a roller coaster. But on the other end, it's fun to have this September baseball meaning something, because we didn't really have that since 2016. So that's cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Del, I'll ask you this. We talked about on our last show, and it's kind of been the talk of the media around New York and baseball at large, the easy schedule for the Mets in September. We saw them struggle against the Nationals at home, which is obviously a huge letdown. Then they lose the first game against the Pirates, an absolutely pitiful team. Both those teams, you know, unless you're a diehard fan, you don't recognize, I would say, at least 50% of the roster. They bounce back against the Marlins and winning those last couple games against Pittsburgh. And then they lose against the Cubs. So, like Cornet said, kind of a meh start to this, you know, rather easy schedule that you hope, you know, they could have maybe built upon their lead and extended their lead in the division and playing well, but playing good baseball into the playoffs. So, you know, do you think it's kind of a little bit of a letdown internally? You know, they're not taking these teams as seriously. Maybe it's the fatigue of a long season. What do you think is the some, you know, important factors that have gone into kind of the average so-so start that the Mets have gotten off to the month of September?
I mean, look, it's a long season. These are just, you know, we go through 162 games. They went through a stretch where they rarely got any days off. I mean, these guys are tired. Not using it as an excuse, but they're winning series. Yeah, we should have taken the National Series, but we took the Dodger Series, which is significant because they're probably a team that we're going to go against in the playoffs. You know, depending how far both teams go, they're likely a rematch, you know, 2015 rematch there with the Dodgers and the Mets for the National League Championship Series. Who knows? The Nationals are here to play spoilers. It seems like their team got better during after the deadline. These young guys are up and coming and they're proving themselves to, you know, show that they're here to stay for next year. So I don't want to say that we're playing horrible, because the reality is we've won the last few series. We're not going to win 15 straight games. That's not going to happen in baseball. The worst teams do win games, and the best team lose games, and the worst teams do win games. That's just the nature of the sport. Moving forward, we just got to keep winning the series. We have a few games off before we play Atlanta. And look, Atlanta was playing 800 baseball. It's unsustainable the rate that they were going. They have Michael Harris is amazing. I'm scared to face him for the next few years, but eventually, you know, players do cool down. And if you look at their team on paper, some of their offense seems a little bit underwhelming. You got guys that are not like they're not really stars. They're just overperforming their metrics. So I'm confident for the first time. I feel a little bit positive. I'm the positive one. That, you know, that the Mets have a good chance. I'm not worried or concerned. It's all, you know, if we don't make the – we don't win the division, we're still making the playoffs with the wild card. And, you know, I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, so, you know, on that subject, you mentioned the Braves playing so well. I think for me, and you've heard this, you know, around the team as well, the problem – I never was worried about how the Mets were playing. They're on a, you know, 100-plus – game win pace right now, and you know that hasn't happened since 1988. So it's, you know, it's been a generation since they've been this good, at least record wise. And so I think, you know, it was never about the Mets, right? You mentioned how well Atlanta was playing. They were, you know, like you said, 800 ball. They went on that long, you know, 11, 12, 13, I think it's 14 game winning streak earlier in the season, and then they just continued to just rattle off. You know, he's, you know, 9-1 in the last 10 type of. Streaks there, and it was, you know, the Mets were doing a good job and of keeping them. It's going to be a tight race down the stretch, and we knew that going back into May. It was never going to be a 10-game cushion the entire length of the season. And I think, you know, the Mets are playing average baseball now, but, you know, you mentioned, Del, the Dodgers series was a big win. So I'm not too worried about the Mets right now. I do think, however, and I'll, you guys can chime in here if you have any thoughts too, that they need to win the division. I know that they're probably going to make the playoffs. I think the magic number for them is 8 to clinch a playoff berth. But to me, especially with the new format, the division is the key. It's going to be really tough for any team, despite, you know, how well the Mets are playing this year, through 3 series of baseball just to get to the World Series, right? So having that, those extra days off, you could set up your pitching staff. You know, DeGrom and Scherzer wouldn't have to potentially pitch on short rest or be relied on for, you know, major innings in the playoffs. And I think, you know, you would want to save those guys for later in series, you know, game sixes, game sevens coming out of the bullpen potentially. So for me, I think that the division is the key, and it would be disappointing for them to have to settle for one of those wild card spots and then advance through three rounds just to get to the World Series.
I mean, the way I see it is I would love the division, but what I really want is a playoff berth. Once you're in the playoffs, you're in it, and you can win the World Series, whether you win the division or whether you win, you know, a wild card spot. What matters once you're in it, to me, is that you make it all the way to the World Series. That's the goal. But, yeah, the division would be nice. It would be nice to have that banner in Citi Field. And that needed rest, so guys will be refreshed. But as long as they're in it, I'm okay. We can't control how the Braves play. We can't control that factor. We're gonna, you know, we're not gonna win for the rest every single game at the end, you know, to the end of the season. So I just want them to make the playoffs, which seems likely unless some horrible thing happened. Which
we're making the playoffs, guys.
Yeah, I have no worry about making the playoffs. I'm more worried, so much worried. But Corne, let's say they, you know, the Braves overtake them, they lose the division by one or two games. I think it's going to be close either way. That wild card round, all the games are at Citi Field, so I'll have confidence. You know, if they have to play the, you know, who would it be? Probably the Phillies, maybe, or the Padres.
I think the Padres. Yeah.
Yeah, I have confidence against either of those two teams. But the problem with that is, you have Scherzer and DeGrom and whatever order you want in games one and two, right? And so then, you know, let's say that, you know, you sweep whoever, so you win the first two games with those two guys on the mound. Then they're not pitching again until game three, games two, maybe game two, you know, depending on, you know, how many pitches they throw in game one, whoever it is. But, you know, I think not having those two guys pitch both of the first two games of the next series, I think is – such a important swing in how I think confident in how the series at large kind of projects, you know, over to, what is that, a best of five round. So I think the difference between having, you know, DeGrom and Scherzer in games one and two of the division series and having, you know, Bassett and Scherzer or Bassett and Walker or whatever combination you want to come up with, is massive in terms of how successful they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think getting the division for the reasons you mentioned would be huge. On the other end, I do tend to agree with Dell. If you make the playoffs, a lot can happen. You also, you know, have that rest that can maybe get you out of a little bit of a rhythm as a hitter. I mean, getting at least, I think they have like 3 to 4 days off when you have to buy, maybe even more.
I think it's 5 days.
You get like 5 days off.
Yeah. Well, for hitters, that could be an issue if you are in a nice rhythm. Yeah, so sure. you have pros and cons to it. Obviously, with the rest, I think you want the division, but to me, it's not only especially when you play at home, you know, you have that nice playoff atmosphere at home. I think it could be a good thing to have those 2 to 3 games in your favor. And hopefully, if it also depends on the end of the year, if you are as close in a close race at the end of the year, then it could be an issue. If you have to settle for the wild card with 3 games left, you can get some rest there for your regular. So that's also a big part of that first series, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think you guys, I mean, obviously with the Mets pitching staff, I think that being, you know, in that wild card round wouldn't matter too much. You know, DeGrom and Scherzer are obviously two of the best pitchers of the last 5 years of this generation. And then Bassett's been really solid. He's probably been our most consistent pitcher. So having three guys who I think you trust in a you know, short series and a playoff series definitely mitigate some of the worry that I have about potentially having to get through three rounds, but certainly that extra rest, being able to set up your pitching staff and having your front, your, you know, your top two guys open that, that division series, I think is definitely a luxury that, you know, definitely a luxury in reference to what I've been all year, and that's been in first place. So let's
Can I just add something? I mean, the Mets made it very far without DeGrom and Scherzer. They were out for, you know, I want to say about a month, you know, and they made it. I trust the pitching staff enough, so I'm not overly concerned about that. That's all I wanted.
No, for sure. They definitely have shown the capability of going without those two guys. And like I said, Bassett stepped up. Walker had a great first half. You know, Carrasco's a veteran. So definitely this depth there that they would, you know, put, you know, it would be comfortable with tapping into should they have to settle for the wild card round spot. So let's try something new here on the podcast. We hope that it works out. I think it will, and we'll continue doing this every episode. The good, the bad, and the ugly segment. So each one of Dell and Corne will give their good performance, bad performance, and ugly performance of the last week, or in this case, two. So let's start with Dell, and what is your good for the New York Mets this week?
Oh, well, I thought Corne was going to do the good, and I was going to do the bad, but
Oh, we can do that too. Yeah, yeah, Corne, you do good.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I was going to mention the catchers. I mean, they got a lot of hate, especially on the hitting part, and both catchers have done a terrific job lately. Last week they were pretty good, and one guy I do want to highlight for maybe actually all year is James McCann, guy who really gets a lot of hate. Really, I mean, with the bigger contract, catching a bad year last year, a lot of injuries this year, but actually his slash line overall isn't great, but his expected slash line is pretty good. He is at 250. 321, 426. So that's a 747 expected OPS. And I think for a catcher with his defense, that's pretty good. And when I was looking at his Baseball Savant page, I saw something interesting that James McCann's average exit velocity is 0.1 mile faster than Pete Alonso. So I thought that was a very, very interesting stat. He's tied with Muncy and Gleyber Torres. So for me, it's I'm a bit of a James McCann fan. I hope he does well. But this, for me, shows that he's probably a bit unlucky this year. And maybe we can expect a solid year from James McCann next year with our big friend who is in AAA as his starting catcher, and he a little bit as the backup learning the position to Alvarez. And I would love that. So a little bit of a tip to the cap for one of the most hated guys on our team, James McCann.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. They've both been really good this past week into September, you know, the beginning of September as well. And certainly, like you said, that's a position in the lineup, that nine spot, that catcher that's gotten a lot of heat this year. Obviously, the Mets looked, you know, put, there were some rumors, a lot of rumors that they were looking for catching help at the trade deadline and to talk about Alvarez coming up. So there has been a lot of angst and a lot of, you know, kind of wanting and Mets fans wanting that position to be upgraded. And the Mets stuck with the veteran McCann and Tomas Nito, and they both have provided a lot of defensive capabilities, you know, throwing out base runners, and now offensively, as you mentioned, it looks like it's starting to click for those two guys, and, you know, deepen the lineup in the time that they've played a little bit. So definitely a good sign for the Mets moving forward. Dell, what about the bad?
So for the bad, I got Pete Alonso, and to be more specific, not him, just his recent performance has been very bad. And non-Pete Alonso-esque. What I did was I dove into the numbers and I broke it down by months. And this is from the, you know, second half, beginning July 19th, I believe, is when it started. So after the All-Star break, he had he was 38 plate appearance. He was on fire. He was slugging almost 700. He was striking out at a 7.8 rate and walking at 10.5, on base percentage 474. The numbers did go down a bit in August. One thing I do want to mention and keep in mind, because I'm going to bring it up later, is that his line drive rate was 26.7. So in August, those numbers start to come down a little bit. You know, his slugging went down to 421. He was striking out at 20.5 clip, which is pretty high, considering what he did the month before. And this is all in 127 plate appearances. His line drive for the month of August was 25. September, and this is, from September 1st till present, his numbers are just trash. And what I notice is that his line drive rate is only 5.6. That's over 20%, And when you watch the game, you see him, getting under the ball or over the ball. He's popping up a lot. He's grounding out a lot. His on-base percentage is under 300, and he's just not doing well. I think, for me, it has to do with the fatigue. He's been playing almost every single game. I think he's only missed one game all season long. Maybe he's trying to pull the ball a lot. He's trying to hit for power. He's the guy that we rely on for power, and he hasn't been that guy. So that could probably be a reason for the Mets' recent offensive woes. But I think that, it'll all balance out eventually. Right now, his BABIP is 235, which is well below the league average of 300. So I think in the next few days, he's going to start recessing back to his normal self, and he should help the Mets out.
Pete Alonso is one of the major keys to the Mets offense, obviously, in that cleanup spot. And, I think earlier in the season, he was kind of going about his approach differently. We saw him, have a high average, hitting less home runs and less extra base hits and becoming a better overall hitter. And I think now that that's gone away, he hasn't kind of regressed back to what he is normally doing at the plate, which is hitting the ball hard and hitting the ball far. There's a point in the time when he was on pace for 130, 140 RBIs, and he's still in the National League lead, but, he has, like you said, had struggled the past couple of weeks and, better part of a month, really. And so that has gone down. The projection has gone down a little bit. So let's talk about the ugly. Which one of you guys wants to take over for that? Because this one is a doozy.
I want to do my bet first.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry, you go. Go ahead.
But because I think it's a pretty interesting one, and I was curious about your opinion about this manner. But I think the managing of the Mets bullpen in the last 2 weeks is bad. Mainly because since our last podcast, we haven't seen the top arms a lot. I know May was hurt, so that's a big blow. But we had a couple of games where the Mets went with Joely Rodriguez, Montes de Oca, and Hunter with one or two run deficits late in the game. And especially the time that they went with Joely, and then after they gave Diaz some time to work, was pretty mind-boggling to me. I think it was the Friday game against Miami, when Joely allowed a home run. And to me, that's a little bit mind-boggling, that when your main guys have so much rest in a pennant race in September, I know it's a long season, and I know Buck in the middle of the year has gone to his lesser arms, and I respect him for that, but this is a different month. And if your guys are rested, I would have gone with Edwin Diaz, because you probably wanted to use him anyway to get him some work. Why not with the one run deficit instead of bringing him in after Joely Rodriguez? And that's now three times in the last since we spoke. So I was curious about your guys' opinion about my opinion about the bat for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think you have a good point. I mean, granted, you know, Buck's limited at what he can use, but yeah, I mean, the bullpen's definitely has given up, blown some games there. So that's a good one.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, Corey, for sure. I think the point is even emphasized, and like you were saying, it's more frustrating because of the lack of moves that Billy Epler and the front office made at the deadline, only bringing in Mykal Givens, who has been better lately. The last couple outings have been much better than when he initially got to the Mets. But, you know, we heard after the Vogelbach trade, in which the Mets gave up Holderman, that the bullpen market was robust and that there were going to be a lot of options out there. And it was very disappointing. We talked about how disappointing it was that the Mets really only came up with Givens, who is a nice arm, but certainly for a team that has World Series aspirations, you would have liked someone with a little bit more high leverage ability and certainly a left-handed reliever as well. Jolly Rodriguez has not been good all season, and the Mets didn't address that really at all. And another area that I think we talked about the Mets not addressing is the subject of our ugly area for this
episode. You know what? Corn is making me look bad, so I'm going to go with a good very easily, very quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
Escobar.
Do that.
We can't do this segment with us, you know, praising Escobar's. He's been phenomenal. I mean, I'm not going to go to dwell too deep into it, but, you know, the last seven games, he has an on-base percentage of 548, and he's slugging 931. So let's leave it at that. He's been great. Keep it up, Escobar.
Yeah, way to go, Eddie.
Yeah, no, good bounce back for him after really struggling in the beginning of the season. And since he's come back from the injured list, that's when I think he started to perform well. So maybe that time off gave him, you know, some space, and he was able to reset his approach in his mind there. So into the ugly, Del, now.
We all have the same ugly, I think. Corner, you can go ahead and start.
Yes. Shall I do it?
Well, yeah, I think
we have the same, and it's Darren Ruff. And nothing against the guy Darren Ruff, but since when we made a trade, I already thought, might have given up too much. But hey, he hits left-handers well, so that's what we need. Well, he doesn't hit anything well right now. I saw a stat that he has a 7 OPS plus. So not 107, not 77, a 7 OPS plus since we traded for him. And, I mean, that's just horrendous. That's atrocious for a guy who we got to perform as a bat because he's a DH. He's probably even worse than what JD Davis did for us, worse what Dominic Smith did for us. So, sorry, Darren Ruff, you're probably a good dude, but it's just horrible. Sorry.
Yeah, I think for me, the ugly goes back, not just his recent performances we got him, but just the whole aspect of how we got him. We gave up way too much. We gave up, was it, three pitching prospects and JD Davis, Sapucki, yeah, who's a left-hander, who's like been decent with the you know, the bullpen with the Giants. Like, we could have used that, but instead we gave it away for Ruff. And the guy is just batting. I mean, in his last 30 games, 51 at-bats, he's got a 1.35 average, and he's slugging .196. I mean, his on-base percentage is 179. You know, it's really, really rough to look at, I guess. I mean,
yeah, good one.
There you go. I had to work that one in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you guys obviously quantify that, you know, how much he's been struggling. I think even more so the part that is, you know, frustrating and agonizing to look at is the fact that Mark Vientos had been and continued to, before his call-up, been raking in the minors. You know, OPS, you know, into the 800s, especially against left-handers, really performing well. And they just now called him up because of the injury to Marte, and he's not going to get bats consistently. And especially, you know, during a time where not Ruff, but also Vogelbach have been as well, you maybe thought that Vientos can work himself into that mix, but, you know, Buck a little bit reluctant to add him into the lineup. I think he's only given him one start. And I think that if they were going to call up Vientos, it should have been at the deadline. rather than trade prospects for Ruff, who's been terrible, like you guys said, they had someone in the minors who they could have called up for free. So definitely a frustrating conundrum. We'll see what Ruff does. I feel like, you know, he will obviously be on the roster the rest of the season and into the playoffs, so maybe he comes up with a big hit late in the season or in the postseason to kind of put everyone's mind at ease and make that trade a little bit more worthwhile than it seems to be now, especially considering because J.D. Davis has been on the up and up in San Francisco a little bit. He's been playing much better now that he's getting consistent playing time for the Giants. So last thing we want to talk about here on the Dorky Mets podcast is a little bit of an injury report. Max Scherzer threw a little bit today at Citi Field. Showalter, said that he would either throw a sim game or maybe start in AAA. So he should be back maybe, you know, next weekend, if not the weekend after, next week. So, you know, 7 to 10 days, I would say, is the projection for Scherzer to come back. Luis Guillorme, fan favorite, was activated off the injured list today, so he'll be back on the Major League roster. And then some bullpen arms. McGill should be back soon. Drew Smith should be back soon. Trevor May came back off the COVID injury list the other day. So question I want to ask you guys, and Corner, you could start. Out of the players returning, we'll leave Scherzer aside because obviously he's the most important, but Guillorme, you know, super utility guy, can play everywhere. How important do you think he'll be coming back to the roster as opposed to some of those bullpen guys coming back and giving the Mets a little bit more depth at the back end of games?
Huge. I mean, we clearly missed Luis Guillorme. It made Lindor play every game. We had guys like Devin Marrero and Yolmer Sanchez on the bench because we didn't have Luis. And right now, you see it in the lineup today. We miss Marte, and you can plug Luis in at second and move McNeil to right. So, it gives you so much more flexibility to have a guy like Luis Guillorme on your roster. And he has been performing this year. It gives some guys rest. Like we mentioned in this podcast today, that it's a tiring season, and we might have shown the tiring of the season in this last month. And Luis Guillorme just provides depth, just provides flexibility. And I love that he's back, and I think he was truly, truly missed.
Yeah, no, definitely. That versatility is a key asset, and obviously he does it really well with how good his glove is.
And he's going to win probably, because this year we have a utility Gold Glove Award. So that's a cool thing to mention, because he's probably the front runner to win that in the National League.
I would say sure. I mean, McNeil too, how good he plays second base as well. He can definitely play multiple positions at a very high level. Dell, what bullpen arm do you think will be the most important for the Mets coming back off the injured list? You have McGill, Drew Smith is working his way back, or Joey Lucchesi from the left-hand side?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I like all three of them, actually, compared to what we have now. I would probably I don't know. I'm not – we haven't seen what Lucchesi has done, you know, what he can do in the majors this year, so I'm hesitant to say Lucchesi. I would probably stick with Drew Smith. McGill could probably be more dominant, but we haven't seen him really pitch out of the bullpen, so I'm gonna stick with Drew Smith. I think he'll be impactful. We've seen what he can do. To me, if we don't re-sign Diaz, I think he might be the future closer of this team. That's how high I am on him. I mean, I do want to mention one thing about Guillorme. The team hasn't played well since he's been on the injured list, and I think besides his glove, he also provides. He's sneaky. An offensive good player. He can take at bats. He can take pitches. He does what Nimmo does, and you know we needed that from you know the bottom half of the lineup, which Guillorme could provide. So,
yeah, no, definitely. I think Guillorme will be a big player for the Mets down the stretch, and the bullpen arms. You know, we talked about what the Mets didn't do at the deadline, not really adding too much in terms of depth and. Certainly, I think Lucchesi is a promising prospect from the left side of the rubber. You know, Joely Rodriguez has not been good. Lucchesi, I think would be at the minimum just as good as Rodriguez has been this year. Certainly that Cherv is an interesting pitch and has a lot of potential to be a troublesome pitch to left-handed hitters. So I think, you know, we'll see how that works itself out. It'll be interesting to see what the Mets do come the postseason in terms of their roster management, how many guys they take up and who gets a spot in that bullpen. So that will do it for this episode of the Dorky Mets podcast. If you guys don't have anything else to add.
I have nothing to add. Thank you so much. Great host.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Corner, anything else?
No, it was a fun episode again. Let's beat the Cubs tonight.
Yes, let's beat the Cubs. DeGrom on the mound. So hopefully the next time we talk, the Mets will be on a bit of a winning streak, a bit of a more positivity around the team as they look to extend their division lead over the Atlanta Braves. So for Del Alva, Corner, Hogaveen, I have been your host, Charlie DeLuca. Thank you for joining us. And as always, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.